a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, sports fans, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey here. No Jazz scores to report.
Oh,
no,
thank heavens. I'm like I was so anxious the last two nights.
I know. It's been kind of crazy,
just like,
hasn't it?
Like, two terrible teams, and, like, they lose to the Wizards. And then last night, I mean, they're playing guys who, frankly, probably would have lost in the second round of the NCAA tournament for the Thunder. And I'm like, I've never heard of these guys. And I'm just, like, anxious, and they're just – I'm just glad not to have that feeling. The Jazz are in first, and I've never felt so anxious about the Jazz right now, Scott. That's where I'm at.
Can I give you something that's just totally idiotic? This is idiotic.
Scott, this is our entire show, by the way.
Well, I know. No, you're going to agree
okay,
with me.
Okay, right,
let me hear it. So they have this, like, ranking the MVPs in the NBA.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you know who's entered into
the discussion?
The discussion? Chris Paul.
Okay. But no Donovan Mitchell?
Now they have, like, the five likely ones.
Right.
Nobody from the Utah Jazz.
No.
Then you look at people to keep an eye on. Here, you guess who is about seven.
People to keep an eye on. Okay.
Yes.
Rudy
Gobert.
No Donovan Mitchell.
No Donovan Mitchell.
That's hilarious.
Anywhere.
Why on earth? Well, listen, is the thing that makes me anxious. This is the thing that kind of keeps me
insane.
Up, you know?
It's insane.
Gosh. All right.
It's no way. Come on.
I know.
It's just ridiculous.
The guy just dumps in points, and he's just on a tear here. But nobody cares. I keep it that way. Let him win the championship and then get on the radar. All right. Joining us right now on KSL's Unrivaled, he's Mitch Harper. He's our BYU insider for KSLSports.com. And Mitch, first of all, to see Tommy Lloyd was hired at Arizona basketball should be a massive sigh of relief for BYU fans out there, right? In my mind, Coach Mark Pope was a nice mention, and, like, you makes you feel good about yourself when you get that kind of a mention. But was this a job that he maybe really would have considered?
No question. I think this was the job that absolutely he would have been enticed by had Arizona maybe eventually offered him. Now, what helped BYU is the fact that Tommy Lloyd, the boosters at Arizona, they got some Gonzaga connections. So they're enamored with the Gonzaga ethos, if you will. So Tommy Lloyd was always kind of their target number one after Sean Miller, and they get that guy. But if he had turned it down, I think it would have been interesting. And I think that, you know, Mark Pope would have been a viable candidate. I think sometimes BYU fans look at the here and now and think, you know, BYU's a better job. But the history of Arizona, it's top notch. It's, to me, it's still one of the best jobs out in Western college basketball. So, yeah, I think Cougar fans should breathe a sigh of relief for sure. And I think now for BYU going forward, guys like Brian Santiago, Tom Homo, they got to keep pumping in the resources for BYU basketball to make sure that Mark Pope is always happy with the program he's gotten, the resources that he's getting into his program.
You mean Mark Pope doesn't want to stay at BYU long term and build a program and build a tradition? Is that what you're saying?
I think the biggest thing, Scott, is that he's a guy that he knows how to play the game. I mean, you know, like when I say that is that he's got to he knows how to advance his career, and getting his name even just linked to some jobs, I got to imagine in the future will have his name mentioned and tossed around again. On-court performance has been great for Mark Pope at BYU and at UVU, but just having his name linked to an Arizona job, if you're a P5 program next offseason, maybe you go, hey, this guy was connected to Arizona last year. Let's maybe kick the tires, see what he's got, if he's interested in this job. So I think Pope just understands how the game is played. There's a reason he got a big contract extension after just 1 year. He knows how to play the game, and I think, you know, to advance his career and get job stability and continue to get pay raises, this is how it's played. This is big-time college basketball.
I think the BYU fans expect – they expect Lavelle Edwards. You know, it's like why can you not, you know, and you,
what's that mean, Scott? Like people try to poach him, but it's like but he feels like it's a calling to be a provost.
Yes, it's like it's hard to get someone to come and coach in Provo, and there's special requirements, you know, and you have to be an active member of the LDS church. There's not that many out there, and so a lot of people feel like it's more than just being a coach, and it is a calling. And I think a lot of that was because of Lavelle, because Lavelle was great, tremendous, and he built this tremendous culture and tradition of BYU football, and he had opportunities.
Right, he wasn't looking to go to USC or something.
No, he wasn't. Yeah. He was never looking anywhere. And so I think that maybe with a certain group of BYU fans, I think they expect that and kind of feel a little jilted, like you're not really committed to the program.
Here's the silver lining I see here, Mitch, too, is that BYU fans should be extremely excited. You might have a shorter time with Mark Pope than you think, but what that means is the shorter amount of time that he's with BYU, it means you probably had just amazing success. Because the whole thing is he's motivated to be successful. That's just kind of where he's dialed up anyway. It's just success follows him. He has that, you know, kind of plan in place everywhere he goes. But I think it's foolish for BYU fans to think that Mark Pope's going to be here in the long, long term and that he's going to do the 15 years. It would take something real special in Provo to keep him for that extended period of time.
Yeah, I think so. And I would also add, too, with Pope, that I feel like he knows that he can win big at BYU. And I think there's only select jobs that maybe warrant his attention. I mean, I don't think the Utah job earlier really captured any sort of attention for him. But in Arizona, with the great alumni, the NBA players that they've had, there is a rich tradition at Arizona. It's one of the few Power Five programs that you could argue their fan base wants to win bigger in basketball than they do football. So it's just a unique dynamic at Arizona. And when Scott brought up Lavelle, it got me thinking, too. You know, Lavelle once was offered the Detroit Lions job, and he mulled that over back in the 80s, and he didn't take that job. But every single year, Lavelle's contract was just renegotiated, where it was like, okay, it was kind of a verbal agreement, like, yeah, I'm going to agree to this term. And it was a severely underpaid gig for Lavelle compared to the other Mountain West coaches. And when you think about that, BYU has only been in like kind of the modern era of contracts and coaching negotiating for really like the last 20 years, because Lavelle just, I think Scott brings up a great point that Lavelle kind of set this expectation, like you love BYU, you're in it for the long haul, and this is your destination.
And it's kind of bitten them now, because now it's like a race to try to figure out how to, because then you have to convince the board of directors at a private religious institution, hey, we need to pay these ridiculous amounts of cash to these coaches to be relevant. And you go, we didn't have to do that with Lavelle Edwards. He did it and he was successful. And it's like going to a CEO of a company and you're going, hey, things have changed. He's like, no, we're still going to advertise in the yellow pages. And you're like, no, we can't do that anymore. So I think that it's interesting to watch this thing kind of unfold. And Mark Pope is a massive, massive gift to this BYU basketball program. It might not be for as long as you think, BYU fans, that Mark Pope's going to be there. But it's in your best interest to hope that he's as successful as possible. That's what he's going to try to do anyway. Mitch, let's switch gears just real quick here in the next 90 seconds, just about the ruling of coming down, of course, with the NCAA, and that we anticipated that they would do the no penalty, one-time transfer. What's that going to do immediately for a team like BYU?
Well, the biggest Puka Nacua is going to be playing this fall. And you're talking about a wide receiver, number one for BYU. Nacua comes from Washington. And if he's healthy, he's going to be BYU's top receiver, and that's just going to do a world of good for whoever the quarterback is. And Puka Nacua is special. I mean, I said it on Cougar Sports Saturday. I think in a best-case scenario, Puka Nacua's ceiling is that he could be one of the best receivers in BYU football history. He's that gifted. I even wrote a piece on the website this week about guys that can maybe have a Zach Wilson-like meteoric rise in the NFL draft boards. To me, one of those guys is Puka Nacua. So he becomes immediately eligible with this ruling. It's a huge boost for BYU, and it's going to be something that's going to see an instant impact this fall.
Look at that. We talk about Mark Pope and the possibility of him maybe not being as round as long as you thought possible, BYU fans. But then Mitch Harper hits you with a possible, maybe the best wide receiver in the history of BYU with Puka Nacua. Hasn't played a snap yet. No problem. All right. Mitch Harper, thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it. And we'll be back around the corner here. News, traffic, and weather now. And when we return, we've got ourselves, we've got to talk a little bit about the Jazz and the playoffs. The projections are there. By the way, your coincidental update of the Lakers, now 7 games behind the Jazz. This just tends to happen when Mitch is on. So there it is, your coincidental update for all you guys out there of the Lakers and where they are in the West. 5th seed currently behind the Jazz. Stay right here with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.